Hey, welcome back to the Mark Mosey Show, and joining me right now here on the phone line to talk a little NFL draft. Yes, this makes me very happy. His name is Scott Wright with Draft Countdown. My man, how you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Good to be back.
I appreciate coming on. Let's start with this. We haven't talked in a couple weeks. What was the Senior Bowl like? Because I know you go to that every year.
It was fun. That's always my favorite week of the year, bar none. Just as a draft nick, I kind of dork out because it's fun to be there, and also because it's a convention. You get to see all these people in the industry that you maybe only see in person once or twice a year. But then thirdly, it's just an amazing evaluation opportunity to see all these guys in pads doing football stuff as opposed to the combine. They're doing little drills and working out in shorts. They're playing football at the Senior Bowl. So it was an amazing week, and my biggest takeaway from the week was how all the small school players showed out. And that's always one of the biggest questions I want to get answered, is how can these guys play with the big boys? Were they just big fish in small ponds, or can they hang? And by and large, everybody not only proved they belonged, they excelled, whether it be Ben Bartsch, the offensive lineman from St. John's, a couple safeties, and Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Ryan, and Jeremy Chin from Southern Illinois, and then Adam Troughton from Dayton, who was in the running to be not only a top 50 overall pick, but maybe even the first tight end off the board. So the small school kids, that when I think back to the 2020 Senior Bowl, the small school kids are going to be the storyline that stands out to me.
Well, the thing I kept hearing was Justin Herbert, quarterback out of Oregon, looked great during the Senior Bowl. What was your evaluation of him?
Yeah, he really did look good. And it's a really good venue for him, because the question marks that people have about him are kind of that clutch gene, and that's not something that's necessarily going to rear its head at the Senior Bowl in practices. But when he looks the part, especially when you compare him to the other quarterbacks that were there. The other high-profile signal caller in town was Jalen Hurts, the quarterback from Alabama. And I remarked a couple times throughout the week, Herbert and Hurts, that's the difference between a really good pro quarterback and a really good college quarterback. Herbert was just kind of in a league of his own, and he looks the part. I mean, physically, he's got everything you want, from the size, the arm strength, the athleticism, and you can, I don't even think you can make the argument. I think it's a fact that he's more physically talented than either Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa. It's just that X factor with him. Does he have that it factor that we know Burrow and Tua have? So Herbert, he's going to go very high. I know at one point there was speculation maybe he slides a little bit on draft day, but I think he's going in the top 5 to 6 overall. And there's some risk there with him, but there's a lot to like, too.
See, it's interesting with Herbert. I feel like a year ago, everyone's like, oh, he's the number one pick. Oh, he's going to be great and everything. And then it felt like he kind of fell off there for a minute, and now he's coming back up. The question is, do you like him as a pro quarterback at the next level?
I do, and that's the thing, too. When top quarterbacks go back for their senior year, they're ripe for overanalysis. Everybody really picks apart their game, looking for every little flaw, and I think Herbert fell victim to that to a degree. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, even though there's some question marks with him, the supply of top quarterback prospects just doesn't meet the demand in the NFL draft, and never does. And you know, certainly Joe Burrow is going number one to the Bengals, but then I think the two teams, the Dolphins at 5, the Chargers at 6, I think they're both in line to take Tua and Herbert, and one or both of them may end up having to trade up to do it. So I understand the question marks with Herbert, and you know, you hear comparisons to Ryan Tannehill or someone like that, but at the end of the day, he's just too talented to fall too far and for a team not to take a chance on that upside, especially because the depth of his quarterback class isn't necessarily great. If you don't take Herbert in round one, maybe you can get a starting caliber quarterback in round two, but then after that, it's game over. Rounds 3 through 7, you're looking at long-term developmental guys or backups. So if you don't take Herbert, you better really have a guy that you like in round two that you're confident is still going to be there, because it kind of drops off a cliff after the top 4 or 5.
All right, let's go to Joe Burrow, where the guy had the greatest season ever. If you think about a college quarterback, he was incredible. What do you like about Burrow? We'll start there.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, you hear in the NFL draft circles, you hear that term meteoric rise. And I remember Mel Kiper always used to use that growing up. And I think that describes Joe Burrow to a T. I mean, before the season, he had late round grades. And now he's going to be the number one overall pick. And physically, across the board, more than adequate, if not above average. I mean, in terms of the size, the arm strength, the athleticism. But what really sets him apart are those intangibles. He's that true leader of men. He's got ice water in his veins, extremely accurate, just has all those little things, those intangibles that you look for at that position. So he's going to be the number one overall pick, and it would have been fascinating if Tua had stayed healthy, because I think that would have been quite a horse race. It might have been a 1A, 1B type of situation, but when all is said and done, my top three in my final rankings, I think, are probably going to be one, Chase Young, the defensive end from Ohio State. Burrow will be two, and Tua is going to probably still be three, even though there are those questions about his durability. So, but Joe Burrow, he's the real deal. And I was not late to come around on it, to be honest. Early in the season, when he was playing so well, I said, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's see how he does against the meat of that SEC schedule. And he just got better. Not only did he maintain the level of play, he got even better. So Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick. Chase Young is going to go number two, and then the draft kind of starts after that.
Does it hurt Burrow that he's older? Like, I get confused by this thing because it turns into an actual discussion.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because he's older than some of the top quarterback classes from the last couple of drafts. But ultimately, I don't think that's going to hurt him. If anything, people are going to look at it and say, well, he's more mature. He's ready to step in and handle the responsibilities that come with being the number one overall pick of the draft, of being the face of the franchise. So I don't think it's going to impact him at all.
Let's go to Chase Young. Number two, is that just like stone cold lock? Like the Redskins got him at number two? Like, is that completely set in stone now?
Yeah, especially when you look at who the Redskins brought in to be their coaches. Ron Rivera, defensive guy. Jack Del Rio is their defensive coordinator. They're going to understand what Chase Young is and the value he offers. And he's a tremendous prospect. When you think of the top defensive end prospects that have come along in the last 10, 15 years, going back to Julius Peppers, you think of Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett. I mean, he belongs right in that conversation. And he is a special prospect. With a special blend of size, speed, athleticism, and not just a workout warrior. With some of those guys we talked about, their final years in college, the knock on them was, well, they kind of turned it on and off. They were a little sporadic. He translated those tremendous talent into production, and he was a dominant force. Even when he wasn't necessarily making sacks the last few games of the year, he was really impacting the game. So I think Washington is going to sprint to the podium with that pick. And even though a pass rusher isn't necessarily their most glaring need, every team can always use a player like Chase Young.
Doesn't it kind of remind you of San Francisco last year where they add Bosa and that just takes their defense to the next level? I feel the same thing with Washington where this is just going to be awesome for their D-line. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it really is. And you look at what San Francisco did, bolstering the defensive line is how they kind of rebuilt themselves into a contender. And Washington already has some of those pieces in place. They have former first-round picks in John Allen and Deron Payne along the defensive line. Last year, they traded up into late round one and got Montez Sweat, who was a steal late in round one, and he had a good rookie season. And then we'll see if they bring back Ryan Kerrigan, but even if they don't bring back Kerrigan, they're going to have three or four. They might have four first-round picks along that defensive line starting for them. So you could very easily see them translating what San Francisco did. But ultimately, though, it's all going to come down to their quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. He's going to need to step up.
Number three is the Detroit Lions. You're a Midwest guy just like me. I feel like quarterback is in play. If it's with Detroit or it's a trade, I think the real draft starts at number three. Do you think the draft starts at number three?
I absolutely do, and I think a quarterback can play at number three, just not for the Detroit Lions. You know, there's been some rumors out there that maybe they take Tua and they trade Matthew Stafford. You know, this time of year, I always say there's a lot of gamesmanship, and you have to ask yourself, why are things out there? And the Detroit Lions, their head coach and general manager, are very much on the hot seat. They're lucky that they're back this year. So they're not going to be starting all over with a rookie quarterback and trading their best player. But it does behoove them to let other teams think they might take a quarterback as they try to maximize the trade value of that number three overall pick. So I think that stuff's out there to try to encourage and get the best package in a trade from whether it be the Dolphins at five, the Chargers at six, because I think the two guys the Lions would be looking at number three, Jeff Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State, and Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn, they can get either of those guys two, three picks later. So I think that's just a little bit of the rumor mill churning out there as teams kind of try to play the game. And And I think there will ultimately be a trade at the number three overall pick with somebody coming up for a quarterback. And maybe at number four as well with the Giants. I think they're in a similar situation where they're looking at offensive linemen, and they can move down a pick or two and still get a really good blocker. So I wouldn't be surprised if three and four end up getting traded.
In your mock draft, no matter what happens, do the Dolphins take a quarterback? If it's at five or four, or they trade down, is quarterback their number one need?
I sure think so. Some would maybe make an argument, hey, pass on quarterbacks again this year, kind of tank one more season and try to get Trevor Lawrence a year from now, or Justin Fields from Ohio State. But I think they're ready now to bring in that signal caller. And they like both Tua and Justin Herbert. That's, I think, kind of a dark horse storyline here with the Miami Dolphins. All the focus was on tank for Tua for the Miami Dolphins. But they like Justin Herbert a lot, too. They've done a lot of work on him going back to last year when they thought he might come out early. So Justin Herbert, he is a legitimate plan B for them. And if they have any concerns at all about Tua's health, whether it be current health or just general durability, they could audible Justin Herbert. But I guess I would be pretty surprised if they didn't end up with one of those two guys on draft day. And they have the ammunition to make a move up to make sure they get them. They have all this big cash draft picks, not only in the first round, but second round, third round, future years. So they have the capital to move up and make sure they get their guy. It's just a matter now of going through the process and figuring out who they want to hitch their wagon to for the next at least 5 years.
I was at the bowl game between Bama and Michigan. I'm standing by Tua where he has the crutches. I know he's not going to have the crutches forever, but I have concerns with Tua. I think there's a big upside, but I'm really concerned with him. What are your concerns with Tua going into the draft?
No, I'm with you because I'm as big of a Tua fan as anybody, but you can't help but be concerned. And it's not even necessarily this injury. You know, when he suffered that hip injury, there was talk, oh, is this career-threatening? Is this a Bo Jackson situation? That's not the case by all accounts. He's going to recover from this. But it's just the track record of injuries. The hip, both ankles. You just wonder, is the best-case scenario, he's great when he's healthy, but he just can't make it through a season, kind of like Carson Wentz in Philly. So I think you can't help but be concerned, but there's just so much there to like about him. And similar to Burrow in that, not necessarily the most physically talented guy, fine across the board, but those intangibles, he's got that stuff that makes the great quarterbacks great. And that's why there's talk, oh, he's going to slide in the draft outside the top 10, out of the first round. I don't think that was ever going to happen, barring something really major coming up on these medical checkups. He's going to go worst case in the top five or six, and I do believe ultimately somebody trades up to number three for him.
Who's your comparison for Tua? I mean, he's left-handed. We don't have many left-handed quarterbacks, but who's he like exactly in your eyes?
You know, you hear Drew Brees a lot, and I see that as a passer, but I think he gives you a little bit more of a dual dimension than Drew Brees does. I guess I've always kind of gone back to Russell Wilson, just as a guy who's definitely a very, very good passer, but he also gives you that dimension to keep plays alive with his legs and make plays on the run to his detriment at a time. That's what leads to the injuries a little bit too. But yeah, so I guess I kind of side with Russell Wilson, another shorter quarterback. But yeah, so I mean, either way, he's getting compared to some pretty good players, and people don't really have questions about Tua as a player. I think anybody who has question marks about him, it's just the durability. I think if you could guarantee that he's going to stay healthy, he'd have universal love because it really is the total package at that position.
Okay. We've gotten this out of the way with the quarterbacks. I want to ask you about the Jacksonville Jaguars because I'm at the point they've taken so many big defensive players. Do they just go defense again? What do you do with the Jaguars who are there in the top 10?
The Jaguars are in a little bit of a tough spot. They're kind of in no man's land in terms of where the value is going to be and what their needs are. I mean, to me, their top two needs are clearly one, cornerback. One and two might be cornerback if they part ways with A.J. Bouye. So they definitely need a cornerback, but the problem is there's a big drop-off after Jeff Okuda, who's probably going to go on the top 3 to 5 overall. So there really isn't going to be cornerback worthy of the 9th overall pick. And then they need a tight end. Well, tight end might be the weakest position in this draft, and we might not have a tight end go in the first round at all, let alone in the top 10. So I think Jacksonville might be in a spot where they trade down. In my last mock draft, I gave them Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson, who can kind of do it all. He's a linebacker slash safety slash edge pass rusher. I think he'd make a lot of sense. You can make an argument for a defensive lineman like maybe Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina, Derek Brown from Auburn. But ultimately, I think there could be a trade market for that pick for in a couple of different ways. One, they're picking right ahead of the Browns at 10 and the Jets at 11. Both teams are in the market for offensive tackles, for blockers. So what you could see teams, either one of them or another team, trying to leap ahead to get the blocker of their preference. Or wide receiver, because the Jets at number 11 and the Raiders at 12 are both looking for a wideout. So I think those are the two positions to keep an eye on, and I think the Jaguars could probably get a similar type of player three, four spots later and pick up some more draft capital and get better value for their pick. So to me, that's kind of one of those swing spots in the top 10 where when I was doing my mock draft, that's the spot I had the most trouble with just because there wasn't an obvious fit for them. So I kind of identified that as a wild card and a place where we might see a trade. But if they stay there at number 9, I would probably say best defensive player available. But I have a tendency to feel that they might trade down, and I think there will be a market. Because it's always easy to say, oh, I want to trade down and get more picks, but it takes two to tango. In this case, I think there will be interested teams.
I want to end with this, and I know we're going to continue this conversation because the draft, we still haven't even done the combine. Draft's not till the end of April. This is my new rule. This is how I look at the draft. If I need everything, in the first round, I am taking quarterback, offensive lineman, or defensive lineman like edge rusher. That's all I'm taking. I'm not going wide receiver. I'm not going defensive back. I feel like I can get those in rounds 2 through 5. That's my game plan as a GM if I'm starting with nothing. Are you on board with my game plan if we're drafting a team?
I'm right there with you. Let's be co-GMs because I tweeted something out the other day. Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker from Clemson who I talked about, who's an amazing all-around player, kind of a jack-of-all-trades on defense, I like him a lot. But there's 2-3 other guys that you can get 3-4 rounds later that could fill a similar type of role, maybe not as good as Isaiah Simmons, but they can fill a similar type of role. In the first round, I'd rather invest in somebody at one of those premium positions that you mentioned. Quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, maybe a cover guy, and wait, just because I think you can get linebackers later on. And in this draft, same thing with wide receiver. I like Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. I like CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma, but this is not only a deep wide receiver class, it's maybe a historically deep wide receiver class. You're going to be able to get second round values in the fourth round, third round values in the fifth round. And if I need a wide receiver, I'm waiting. I'm taking advantage of that depth, and I know I'm going to get a really good pass catcher probably in the middle rounds. I think rounds 3 through 5 is kind of going to be the sweet spot for that position. So I absolutely agree with you. I think in the first round you want to address those top positions. Offensive lineman, I mean, Trent Brown is a really good offensive lineman. He got, what, $65 million contract? I mean, that is a valuable asset. And if you can get a player at that position on a rookie deal as opposed to paying a free agent – $65 million, that allows you to divvy up those assets and address other positions. So just from a resource management standpoint, I think it makes a lot more sense to target one of those premium positions early on in the first round and wait on linebackers, wideouts that you know you can get later.
Okay, you look at the Super Bowl. Both teams, San Francisco and Kansas City, have phenomenal tight ends. You were talking tight end earlier. George Kittle, Travis Kelce. It feels like how a couple years ago where it became cool to get a big running back. Do you feel like that's what every GM is like? Okay, I need the next George Kittle in the draft. Is that the big sexy position?
Yeah, I mean, everybody would like to have George Kittle, certainly. And if we had known George Kittle was going to be what he was, he wouldn't have lasted as long in the draft as he did. And I mentioned earlier that tight end is one of the weakest positions in this draft, and that's not to say there isn't talent to be found, though. I think there's some intriguing guys. You're just going to have to dig a little deeper this year, but George Kittle was, I think, a third-round pick, so you can find them later on. I mentioned Adam Troutman from Dayton. I think he and Cole Kmet from Notre Dame are the two guys kind of jockeying to be the first tight end off the board. Harrison Bryant from Florida Atlantic, I think he's really intriguing, a little bit in that George Kittle mold. Kind of a big athlete and pass-catching specialist, needs to be a little bit better of a blocker. And then even in the middle rounds, I'm kind of intrigued by Devin Asai from UCLA, and even Randy Moss's kid, Thaddeus Moss, who you could probably get maybe in the fourth round area. So So that's if you need tight end, I think second, third, fourth round is where you're going to target this year. And there's a handful of intriguing guys, but there isn't T.J. Hockenson who's going to go in the top 10 or Noah Fant who's going to go in the top 20. You don't have as much high-level talent at the position this year, but there's pretty good depth. But then after the middle rounds, it's going to drop off again. You're looking at more developmental types and backups. One more name I'll throw in there, too, who has high upside at tight end to keep an eye on, who's going to be available on day three, is Steven Sullivan from LSU, who's a converted wide receiver, kind of in the mold of Darren Waller. And you mentioned copycat league, teams trying to find the next of a guy that's having success. And Steven Sullivan, boy, does he look the part. He was out the Senior Bowl and just a huge frame, long arms. He's 6'5 and a half, 240 pounds. He runs like in the 4.5. He's going to be really intriguing on day three, and he's going to offer a lot more upside than the other tight end options available at that point.
Hey, George Kittle went to Iowa and was barely catching the ball. That's why it's so crazy, and you never know. His name is Scott Wright, Draft Countdown. You got to follow it on Twitter. He's going to have the latest updates on everything for the NFL Draft moving forward. My man, thanks for your help, and have a great day, all right?
My pleasure. Anytime.